It's like the candles that we have, the wax candles that we have, are wonderful.
Second question. You said that it's not technically prohibited to put a television on a timer during child feed. You're holding that the television isn't up to during the week also?
Do I have to get into that now? Assuming that you want to watch a shiur on television, right? They have the recording of all the JLE shiurim, right? You have a video of it. You want to put it on a timer. I'm not going to get into the technical. I know one time when I was a kid growing up, one time we left the television on Shabbos on a clock because there was a very important basketball game that we just had to see. Right, so we left the television on, and it served us right because the Bulls were getting blown out in the first quarter. That ruined our Shabbos entirely. We never did it again after that. But ideally, that's not the way Shabbos should be spent.
Ideally, should you have a television in your house?
Ideally, should you have a television in your house? Yes, if they have the correct programming, you should have a television. Unfortunately, they don't have the correct programming nowadays, so you shouldn't have a television. What you could do with your television is knock out the screen, and you've got an ideal shelf to put in your shop. Yeah.
If there are no women in the house, are the men allowed to light the Shabbos candles?
Is he allowed to?
Or
he has to. If there are no women in the house, then the man has to.
How about if there are women in the house? Sometimes I like to light Shabbos candles.
If it's your wife, then it is her mitzvah. A husband is not. She has first rights to the mitzvah. It is only under extenuating circumstances that, like if a woman is in the hospital because she's having a baby, then a husband has to light. Otherwise, it is the woman's mitzvah. She has priority on the mitzvah. If it's a couple is sharing an apartment and they're not married, like it's your sister, right? Then it's still it better for her to light the candles, right? You could both light individually. Right?
Would you comment on creation of time in prohibition section?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, I skipped over that. The idea of creation of time, that means that many of our questions about God and how God, specifically the famous question of how could there be predetermination, he's asking in section 2, letter C, it says the creation of time. That means that one of the questions of predetermination, how could there be predetermined, how could God know everything? How could God know what's going to happen, yet we have free choice, right? That question is based on an erroneous assumption. The assumption is that God is living by the same set, God is bound, time-bound the same way that we are. When we think of God looking at our choices, right, he knows right now what I'm going to choose later, so how could I have free choice? That's always because we're assuming that God is bound by time. I'm sure you've run into this in the other shiur. That assumes that God is bound by time. Here, God tells us a certain time of the week, you are prohibited. A certain time of the week, you're prohibited from doing activity, creative activity, as a way of reminding us who created time. A certain time of the week corresponds to a certain time was created. Who created time? God himself created time. How do we remind ourselves of that? Because at a certain time that we have to stop doing activity. Right? That's a reminder to us. The link is the word time. There are other activities. I'll tell you, there are other prohibitions. The prohibition on Shabbos of not traveling a great distance. You know, there's a prohibition not allowed to travel a great distance on Shabbos. All of these are meant to keep man close to home. Stay close to home on Shabbos. That's where you're supposed to be. Now, what happens to somebody? This is a very common example. What if you're traveling and you're stranded at an airport, right? Your plane got in a half hour before Shabbos. That's why very often, very rarely do we travel on Fridays, right? Friday is not a good day to travel. Let's say your plane got in, it was a delay. You finally got in a half hour before Shabbos, and you can't get from the airport to your home. Now, you're going to have to spend the Shabbos in the airport. All you have is some apples and a cracker or two, right? And you're going to have to suffer through Shabbos in the airport, right? The alternative is to take a quick ride, a quick cab, 15 minutes, you'll be home, you'll have a very relaxing Shabbos, and you'll really be able to keep the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law, which is that we're supposed to relax on Shabbos. So which do you do? So the halacha is clear that it is unequivocally prohibited to ride in a car on Shabbos. You have to stay at the airport and suffer for the sake of Shabbos. Even though it seems that that defeats the spirit of the law, there's a rule that you must always remember. When it's the letter of the law versus the spirit of the letter of the law always wins, hands down. What we like to do is that within the letter of the law, we like to fulfill the spirit of the law. But if I'm stuck at the airport, you get tremendous reward for suffering for a mitzvah. And when you're able to go through a Shabbos in uncomfortable circumstances, that means you've suffered for Shabbos. That's an incredible reward waiting for a person who's fulfilled the mitzvah at that level. Okay, so it's always the inconveniences. Sometimes we have to go there. I knew a man in Chicago. He used to fly in every week. He was a ritual slaughterer. He worked out of town. He flew into Chicago on a Friday. He did this every week. He'd work out of town all week and come home for Shabbos. He flew into Chicago. There was a blizzard. He got stuck at O'Hare Airport. He walked through the snow from O'Hare Airport to his home. He lived across the street from me. He walked 4 hours in the snow, right, until he got home on Shabbos, until he got home. Police were passing him on these abandoned highway. Now, sir, would you like a ride? Nope, I'm okay. Perfect. And I'm here is walking through this blizzard. Like, so to suffer for Shabbos is a tremendous benefit. You?
Yeah, it is prohibited to play musical instruments on Shabbos, but don't we play musical instruments when, for example, we're singing at the table and we...
That's a very good question. There are many that say it's prohibited to bang to bang on the table. And certainly to bang, I've seen some guys start drumming away at the table. Mike, they'll probably have a great time in Shabbos table, you know, with a little percussion, right? According to halacha, most halachic authorities prohibit it. You're not allowed to bang. You're not allowed to bang a tune on Shabbos. You're not allowed to play musical instruments. That's great. Singing on Shabbos, by the way, you should know that the singing is one of the things that brings a family. The family is doing something enjoyable together. There's no reason for you to be inhibited if you're at somebody's house and they're singing. So very often people are self-conscious. I don't know the words. Nothing wrong if you do know the words and you know the tune to join in and sing. It's expected. It's expected, and it's and you don't have, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But that's all part of the family experience.
Okay, as far as I know, playing musical instruments, it's a rabbinical prohibition.
Correct.
So why aren't you allowed to bang the table in the period of Shabbos?
Yeah, for whatever reason, are you allowed to clap your hands on Shabbos?
Yeah.
No.
The thing is, Litvaks,
though, we don't clap our hands on Shabbos.
As far as I know, you're not allowed to play musical instruments because you might take something,
Correct. Whatever the reason for the rabbinic prohibition, so I don't want to get into all the technical halachas, but whatever the reason for the rabbinic prohibition is, including in that is beating a rhythm on some type of object. You'll see people, you'll very often see Orthodox Jews clap their hands like this. Right? They'll clap their hands. On Shabbos, they'll clap their hands like this because they're doing it with a shinui. A shinui means a change from the normal way. Right? Instead of clapping like this, they'll clap their hands like this. But there are some people who do bang on Shabbos, but our custom is not to. Yeah.
So you're from under Muxa about wearing a watch.
About what?
Wearing a watch.
Wearing a watch, again, I don't want to go into all the technical halacha. I'll answer this question. Wearing a watch is generally not a problem. It depends if you're in an Eruv. Also depends, my watch has a calculator on it, so I'm wondering if my watch, although the halachic authorities say you could wear watches even though they have the buttons on them, I'm uncomfortable wearing a watch with a calculator on Shabbos because then it's not just a watch, it's a calculator. What do I need a calculator for on Shabbos? Technically, it's probably okay, but you know, some people take it off. Otherwise, it's perfectly okay to wear a watch. Just be careful not to hit any of the buttons that turn on the light. Okay? Any other question? But not technical, a lot of questions. Go ahead, Mike.
Technical, but
it's deceptively non-technical.
Is it okay to wind up a mechanical alarm clock on Shabbos? I understand it's a technical question, but I always left too many millionim already here at Overmaid because I forgot to set it on the sign.
To wind up a mechanical
alarm clock
on
set it. Wind it up or set
it. I don't want to answer without checking again. I'd have to check. Look in the book, you know, the book Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa. There's a two-volume book on Shabbos observance, right, by Rabbi Niewuhr, right, which is the most authoritative and comprehensive book on the subject. I'm sure he talks about it in there. Every time I go through this every week, I'm constantly looking things up. There's so many halachas that you constantly have to look me up. I just want to say on that subject, by the way, somebody looking in from the outside very often looks at Shabbos like, there's so many halachas, how could I possibly remember all of these laws? The answer is, you're not trying to remember them, you're living them. And you start increasing from one week to another, you increase, it becomes, you practice it, and eventually you become proficient at it, and you don't, you get better. Anybody who's observed it knows that. If there's something you forget, that's not a problem. There are plenty of people to ask. There are plenty of books to look up. Here's a question. I simply don't remember. If in my house, you know how often it happens where we have to figure out if something is permissible, I have to run to the shelf and look it up in the book, right? Or ask my five-year-old, because he usually knows. He's learning a hater now. He knows these things. But one way or another, there's somebody around who knows. Okay? Yeah.
For example, right after Shabbos, you are in Eretz Israel, right after Shabbos. Is it okay to call a non-Jew in America where the Shabbos is?
A non-Jew?
Yes.
A non-Jew, you could call.
But when you call, actually, you make the phone ring at the place where the Shabbos is still on.
If that's not a problem, making the phone ring, that is a problem if it's your Jewish relatives. To call Jewish relatives on a Shabbos for you and have them pick up the phone on Shabbos, right? That's a very big problem. To call a non-Jew, right? Then that's not technically not a problem. If it's ringing in a Jewish residence, probably not a good idea because you could frighten them, right? Why is their phone ringing on Shabbos, right? Anybody in Israel, phone rings on Shabbos, somebody's trying to get a hold of me. Why would they want to get a hold of me on Shabbos? Right? Now, you're not allowed to pick up the phone because you don't know for a fact that's a life and death situation, right? But it's certainly not comfortable having a phone ringing on Shabbos, right? We usually unplug our phone. Yeah?
I just wanted to ask you about the Eruv that you mentioned, because the
Eruv?
Yeah.
Yeah?
How did that come about?
The Eruv is very technical. The idea of the Eruv is that you're making a public area which you're not supposed to carry and you're turning it into a private domain. But I don't want to go into more than that because that's the idea of the symbol. But so many halachas in there, very complicated halachas. Yeah?
Two questions about the kindling thing. First of all, you said that it's not for the reason about showing the report. Not the reason about showing the importance of Shabbos, it would be permissible to use electric lights instead of candles candles.
Technically, nowadays, it would. The problem is that any time, once a halacha has been instituted, right, then we have to go along with that halacha. The truth is that at Havdalah, there are halachic authorities that say you can use an electric light for Havdalah. Right? But it's not the custom. The custom is to use a candle. We try not to break with custom. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah. Correct. That's why she covers her eyes. She covers
why
her. Because once she's made the bracha, why didn't they institute that? Why did the men take it on later? That I don't. That was how it was instituted. For the woman, she takes on. She's in the home. She takes on Shabbos right away. It could be because the husband's not in the house to remind her to be careful. So they want a certain point. Okay, right now is the cutoff point. Any other questions?
Are the candles, is that Shabbos for the wife, or is that Shabbos for the husband?
For the wife. For the husband, it's not Shabbos until he accepts Shabbos on Shul. Yeah.
Shabbos confirmed?
It's Shabbos for her once she lights the candle.
She doesn't have to accept Shabbos when she lights the candle.
She doesn't have to, but generally they do.
The guy
doesn't have to do that.
So if the guy would have Shabbos, and then the husband has it, and he is still home, and he turns a light on.
He's okay. She could even ask him. It happens many times. But for the wife, it's Shabbos. She's still halakhically allowed to tell her husband what to do, because it's not Shabbos for him yet. She could say, I forgot to turn off the oven, or whatever it is. Yeah, last question.
You said the spirit is normally not going for the death of the law. I used to live in a small city, and around there were many non-Shabbos Jews. And the rabbi, he said, you'd rather have them coming back on Shabbos in order to be Armenian than they're not coming at all.
Absolutely. So did he have them coming on car after dark or before dark?
On Shabbos,
absolutely prohibited. Absolutely prohibited. On Shabbos, there's no comparison. If it's a choice of driving your car to shul or not davening in shul, there's no comparison. You must not drive your car to shul. Even if it means always davening at home by yourself. Nothing outweighs the Shabbos desecration.
The rabbi said that for people who anyway don't keep Shabbos.
That becomes a question of can you knowingly allow people who are not observant to drive there? There's a major halachic debate. But people who are, even for those people, if you could convince them to stay home, that's better than driving to shul on Shabbos. Yeah.
Actually, in Moscow there is a problem for many people to go.
A lot of problems in Moscow.
Yeah, because Moscow is a very big city, many people live dozens of miles away from the shul. So, but the problem is, are you allowed still to, for example, to use the subway on Shabbos, provided that you don't have to pay for it.
No.
Because
technically
you don't.
Even there are a lot of halachas about if a goy can a Jew benefit from what a goy is doing. The bottom line is no, you can't.
But they anyway.
It doesn't matter. You can't. You can't. Yeah.
What's your opinion about driving after Mari before Abdullah?
You're nothing wrong with it. As long as you say Baruch HaMazal and Kol Shekol, you're allowed to. Roland?
Are you allowed to throw stones at cars and
shops? Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to throw stones at cars. You should know. You should know that the idea of throwing stones, first of all, throwing stones at cars on Shabbos in Israel, right, when they always talk about those evil Orthodox Jews who throw stones at cars on Shabbos. But first of all, you should know that very often I saw with my own eyes when the Jerusalem Post had a picture of what they called on the front page the Shabbos rockers, right? And they had a picture of these 11 and 12 year old children who throw stones on Shabbos. Now, a few of them were probably 15 or 16. Is it permissible to throw stones at cars on Shabbos? A, no, because it's attempted murder. That's prohibited by Torah law, right? You could kill somebody by hitting their car. Hitting a moving car with a stone is an act, in my opinion, is an act of attempted murder, because if the car spins out of control, they could easily get killed. There have been plenty of people who have been injured. Anybody who throws a stone at a car on Shabbos obviously does not know the first thing of what Judaism is all about. That's clear. Now, second problem is a technical problem. It doesn't compare to murder, right? But it is a problem. Stones are muktzah on Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to pick up stones on Shabbos and throw them, simply because maybe we should throw a stone at the guy who's throwing a stone, because he's also desecrating Shabbos, right? Because you're not allowed to throw stones at Shabbos. But then again, I'm throwing stones, right? So you should throw them. So we should have all the Jewish people out there throwing stones at each other. Wonderful way to celebrate Shabbos, right? So obviously prohibited. That's the second of all. Third of all, it's not for us to enforce the Shabbos diet. We could go out there and protest, right? Or you could go out there and yell Shabbos at cars. My own experience has been that when you go out on the street and a car drives by and you yell, Shabbos! Right? I've very rarely seen anybody stop their car, get out and say, gee, this is a beautiful religion, I'd like to participate also. Doesn't happen, right? If you want, you're not going to bring anybody closer by standing out on the street and yelling Shabbos. Right? If you want, and in particular if you hit them with a stone. That's it. Okay, so, absolutely. Yeah. Brushing your teeth for all sorts of personal hygiene on Shabbos. Again, you get into technical. You are not allowed to brush your teeth with toothpaste on Shabbos. There's a problem spreading the cream. You are allowed to use a liquid rinse. You could use mouthwash. You could use mouthwash or a liquid toothpaste. You are allowed to use a. You're allowed to brush your teeth with a toothbrush without using toothpaste. You're not allowed. To showering is a problem. By the letter of the law, technically, you can take a cold shower, technically, right? But it is generally frowned upon. A hot shower, absolutely not. But then again, it's not a problem, because when you go take a shower, a nice long shower Friday afternoon, and then you just make it 25 hours is all you have to do. Get 25 hours till the next shower, right? And you can make Havdalah. You can even extinguish the Havdalah candle with the shower, right? And then you can start your shower right there. It's only a matter of 25 hours, and then you're able to be civil again. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
What's the difference between the Shabbos elevator and the Turing or a Father Brother? What can you do with the Shabbos elevator?
A Shabbos elevator has to be built in such a way, not all halachic authorities agree with it, but a Shabbos elevator, first of all, you have to make sure that the added weight does not cause any added combustion, right? And if you knew that for a fact, then it would be okay. But all of these things are very big halachic problems, right? The traveling and all these things are very big, most generally frowned upon. Okay, somebody who's under extenuating has to consult the halachic authority. Okay. Yeah.
It's
almost Shabbos. We gotta go.
It is prohibited to make use of a non-Jewish work on Shabbos. Why? What is the idea of Shabbos Goy?
Shabbos Goy is where he knows in advance. He knows in advance what to do under certain life-threatening situations. You can't. Shabbos Goy does not mean that you can ask the non-Jew to come in and do anything you want for him. What you are allowed to do is you're allowed to hint at a non-Jew. Very often in Jewish history, what happened is you needed something happen. I've seen this happen where, let's say the lights are on and off in the house. Right? You have, let's say, a celebration on Shabbos in the house. There's a kiddush. And what you do is the kiddush is going to happen, and the lights, the house is pitch black, so you don't know what to do. So you call a non-Jew in off the street and say, hey, you know, Tony, we got a little problem here. You know, there's a lot of good cake on the table. Yeah. I said, well, you know, probably be able to see it better if there were lights on. What's the catch, man? Right? That's usually the reaction. So my favorite Shabbos Goy story was the guy in London who walked out of the shul on Shabbos because it was the air conditioning hadn't gone on, or the heating, whatever it was. He walked down the street, he saw a guy, he said, you know, the air conditioning's off in our shul. So the guy came in, he said, really? He flips the switch, he says, look, I'm Jewish too, I want to do my part. Right?